Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we get started, today's program is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners, and I especially want to thank Alton for his support. We'll send access to the premium site, as we do with all donations of $7 or more. You can support the show at support.greatdetectives.net. Now it's time for today's episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, The Silent Queen Matter, Parts 3 and 4.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Hiya, boy. Vic Carson in Hartford. Say, things are really opening up out there on the coast, huh?
So, you read the papers.
Quite a surprise, learning that Mavis Gale was married to that penny arcade operator Barney Slade.
She'd been married to Tom Sanford.
Sure, silent film actor. Only it turns out he and Slade are the same man. Really something, isn't it?
Yeah, well...
Here's Sanford supposed to be dead for 27 years, and all the time he's living down there in Ocean Park, and she didn't know about it.
So she said. Only somebody saw her hanging around the arcade two nights before Slade's murder, Vic.
What? Well, what does she have to say about that?
She wasn't around when the police went out to her place a little while ago. No one knows where she is.
Look, have you been able to get an angle on those photographs of hers in Slade's apartment? Why the killer drew those question marks over them?
No. And we haven't found out why the killer copped a half a dozen of the photos either.
Photographs of who?
How should I know? They're gone.
Well, maybe they're important.
No. Look, I'm on the trail of a character called the Preacher. If I find him, I may find some answers.
Well, according to the papers, it... Johnny, are you sore about something?
Yeah, Vic, I'm sore. Better read my report.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Ocean Park, California. To State Unity Life, Home Office, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, The Silent Queen Matter. Expense account continued. Item 9, 55 cents, one scotch and soda at a local pub. This was right after I talked with you, Vic. Yeah, I guess I was a little sore. Maybe it was because of that phone call earlier from Sergeant McKay, when he told me that old-time screen star Mavis Gale had been seen hanging around the arcade where Slade was murdered. Okay, so Mavis Gale was in line to receive $25,000 as the beneficiary of Slade's insurance policy. I suppose he figured I was itching to get something on her so the insurance company wouldn't have to pay off. I downed the rest of my drink and walked over to the Penny Arcade in the Ocean Park amusement zone.
Back again?
Yeah, I'm back again, Twyla.
If you're looking for Sergeant McKay, he's...
You're sure about what you told him, that you saw Mavis Gale in here several nights ago?
I'm sure. Recognize her picture in the morning paper.
Well, you didn't volunteer this information to McKay until this afternoon.
I sleep late.
Okay. So Tuesday night, Mavis Gale showed up, around 8, you said.
Well, I couldn't swear to the time. It was around then.
Well, exactly what did she do?
I told the sergeant.
Well, tell me.
When I first noticed her, she was standing just inside the front door, like maybe she was waiting for somebody.
Was Barney here in the arcade at the time?
No, Barney was back there at that test your strength machine. It was busted.
And I was helping fix it.
Oh, hiya, Mr. Jessup.
Evening, Mr. Dollar. Evening, Twyla.
Hi. Yeah, Mr. Dollar, Frank here's pretty good with electrical stuff.
So?
So I helped Barney fix the machine.
Look, Twyla, I mean, what happened then? What did Mavis do?
Well, she waited around another 10 minutes, maybe, and then beat it.
Did Barney see her?
Did he, Frank?
You mean Mavis Gale was in here the night he was fixing the machine?
So Twyla says. Do you think he noticed her, Mr. Jessup?
Kind of hard for me to say, Mr. Dollar. We were both pretty busy fooling with that machine. I didn't notice her, that's for sure.
Look, Mr. Dollar, don't you believe I saw this Gale Dane here? You need half a dozen witnesses.
Okay, Twyla, don't get excited.
Twyla, what I come in for, me and Gus are going to drive over to the mortuary, spend a little time with Barney. I know you were there.
Oh, yeah, sure. Sure, I'd like to go again, Frank. I'll get one of the boys to take over the change booth for an hour or so. Thanks.
And be around 8. Well, see you around.
Just a minute, Mr. Jessup. I'd like to ask the two of you something.
Sure, go ahead.
I've got a list of names here. Barney may have mentioned any one of them to you. Now, stop me if he did. Milo Martin, George Sheldon, Jarvis Pocket.
Stop.
Huh?
Yeah, Sergeant McKay already asked us. About that fella called the Preacher, too. We've never heard of him.
Okay, thanks. I wandered around the pier for a while trying to figure out my next move. McKay wasn't around, and it was a cinch Mavis Gale hadn't returned to her Bel Air estate. So the only thing I could do was to keep on trying to track down the men who'd been on that hunting trip 27 years ago with Tom Sanford, alias Barney Slade. Milo Martin, number one on the list, hadn't been able to give out with anything exciting. But he had given me a 5-year-old address on George Sheldon, number two on the list. Expense account item 10, $15.10. Cab fare and tips on the trail of George Sheldon. It blew hot and cold until late that night when I wound up at a bar in downtown L.A.
Yeah, old George worked here for a while. Handyman, sort of. That was I.W. Harper, you said?
Right, it was Soto.
So, you're an insurance investigator. Wouldn't be a cop, maybe, instead.
No. Now, about George?
Just wondering is all, friend. What's he done you want him for?
I'd just like to talk to him.
You sure?
I'm sure.
It figures. He wouldn't be getting into no trouble.
Real sweet fella. Huh?
Real sweet for a fellow who had it rough. And believe me, he had it rough. Used to be an actor.
Yeah, I know.
Had it real good during the silence, you understand? Then along comes the talkies and old George. Him having a voice 3 tones higher than an air raid siren is out.
Oh, it happened to a lot of them.
Only for old George, this, coming on top of a busted romance, this is too much. He starts hitting the bottle and gets down.
What romance?
Oh, movie actress. She up and married another guy, so...
Her name wouldn't be Mavis Gale, would it?
Say, funny you ask that.
Oh?
Her name's all over the front pages. You read the story?
Yeah, I did. You mean that this...
Nah, this wasn't the romance. Old George had a yen for some doll named Josephine Hinch, or something like that. Say, you wanting to talk with him, it got something to do with that Penny Arcade murder?
Yeah, that's right. Now, where can I find George Sheldon?
Well, the address is 1712 South Glendale Avenue, Glendale.
Thanks.
Another drink?
No, I'll finish this. And I'll be on my way.
You know, I kind of miss old George since he left us.
Yeah, sure. Real sweet fella.
Yeah, kind of miss the old preacher, too. Way he used to rant and rave.
What did you say?
About the preacher?
Yeah.
Old guy. Was a friend of old George. Used to come in here and read him the riot act about his drinking. Wave his arms around and holler.
Wait a minute. This preacher, what's his name?
Let me see now. Kind of screwy name. I ought to remember. Runs a rescue mission somewhere around here.
What a fin help.
Sure. Your name's Pocket.
Jarvis Pocket?
Right on the button.
Thanks. Here's your $5.
My pleasure. Oh, and friend, since you've been so generous, well, that address I give you on old George...
What about it?
Well, save yourself the trip. It's a cemetery. Old George has been dead for a couple of years.
Jarvis Pocket had been number 3 on my list of the men who'd gone on that hunting trip 27 years ago when someone had tried to murder Tom Sanford but got killed instead. Now that it turned out he was also the preacher I'd been looking for, Well, that could turn into a big break. Expense account items 11 and 12, $6 even, tip to above-mentioned bartender and cab fare around L.A.'s Skid Row looking for the rescue mission. It was a neat-looking affair. All the lights in the main hall were on, and as usual, the place was open for business.
Seek and ye shall find. So, my brother, seek ye the way of the Lord, for along that way lies...
There was a good crowd on hand. I eased into a seat alongside a bleary-eyed pilgrim who reeked of bad sherry.
Let his light show
I looked around.
You the way, oh my brothers.
The bottom of the barrel was
repent
here.
Repent your sins and put down that bottle.
The brothers were listening to the good man up front, but they weren't really tuned in. They were just waiting for a bowl of soup and a place to flop.
Peace, my brothers. In him alone is your salvation and your hope of everlasting life. Open your hearts to eternal joy, and the glory shall be yours. We will now sing hymn number 32.
When the singing was over, I got caught in the crush, and the next thing I knew, I was holding a bowl of lentil soup in my hand, and I realized I hadn't eaten all day. Meanwhile, I kept my eye on Brother Pocken and waited for a chance to get to him alone. That happened about 5 minutes later when he walked out. I followed him down a long, dark corridor and into his office.
Please sit down, young man.
Thanks. My name is Johnny Dollar, Brother Pocket. I'm an insurance investigator.
Oh. Frankly, I thought you were a policeman when I saw you out there seated with my flock.
Been expecting the law?
Yes. Excuse me. I knew they'd be coming around sooner or later regarding that long friendship of mine with Barney Slade.
Yeah, because all the way back to the days he was known as Tom Sanford when you directed silent films. Check?
Check.
How long have you known Tom was alive, using the name of Slade?
Oh, Mr. Dollar, I was witness to that horrible affair that took place during that hunting trip 27 years ago.
Oh?
Somehow, during the course of that day's hunt, I became separated from the others. Then suddenly I came upon Tom struggling with a man in a deep ravine.
The would-be killer? The man with the shotgun?
The other man fell, the gun went off, and he was killed instead of Tom.
Go on, Brother Pocket.
Well, immediately I told Tom we should find the others, tell them what had happened, that he would have none of it.
Is that when he told you he preferred to let the world believe he was dead?
And I suddenly realized it. Probably would be best for all concerned.
In what way?
Well, Mr. Dollar, Tom was constantly involved in trouble of some kind, drinking too much, gambling, women, brawling. He knew what it was all doing to Mavis, but he couldn't help himself. Believe me, Mr. Dollar, he loved her passionately. Made her life miserable, and his own as well.
I see. Brother Pocket, about the would-be killer.
I know what you're going to ask. The name of the man that tried to kill Tom.
Yeah, you knew him?
Oh, yes. So did Tom. Only the two of us knew his identity.
You're forgetting someone else.
Hmm?
The person who hired him.
Hired? Well, Mr. Dollar, what makes you think he was hired?
So maybe I'm wrong. Am I?
I was never quite certain myself.
Did Tom think he was?
Oh, no, definitely no.
At least as far as Mavis Gale was concerned.
Yeah, quite right.
Did you share his opinion, Brother Pocket?
Yeah, as I said before, I could never quite make up my mind.
Oh, why not? Did you think Mavis Gale incapable of doing such a thing? Hiring someone to kill off Tom?
No, I'd rather not say.
Okay. So who was the man who tried to murder Tom? What was his name?
I'm afraid it'll mean little to you, Mr. Dollar. His name was Joe Fallon.
Well, you're right. It means nothing.
Well, this fact, however, might prove interesting to you. Joe Fallon, at one time, had been Mavis Gale's personal chauffeur.
Johnny Dollar.
Oh, it's you.
Hiya, Sergeant.
Headquarters just gave me this number to call. I was wondering who'd be in Barney Slade's apartment. How'd you get in?
With a key. Brother Pocket had it.
Give me that again?
Jarvis Pocket. He's one of the men on that hunting trip with Tom Sanford 27 years ago. He's here with me now.
How'd he get it, the key?
Barney had given it to him a few years back. He's known all along that Barney Slade and Tom Sanford were one and the same. He also knows the name of the man who tried to kill Sanford.
Who was it?
Name was Joe Fallon. At one time, he'd been Mavis Gale's private chauffeur. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Ocean Park, California. To State Unity Life, Home Office, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, The Silent Queen Matter. Expense account continued. Locating Brother Jarvis Pocket, who now ran a rescue mission along L.A.'s Skid Row, had been the only real break I'd had in the case so far. At least I hoped it would be. The one-time film director of the silent era had often visited with his old friend Tom Sanford, alias Barney Slade, might put us on the track of Slade's killer. I watched Brother Pocket as he paced back and forth across the small room, scratching his chin thoughtfully, glancing up at the blank spaces on the wall where the photographs had been. He was still pacing the room when Sergeant McKay arrived.
How about it, Mr. Pocket?
As I told Mr. Dollar, Sergeant, I'm positive that this entire wall was covered with photographs.
And now there are several missing. Were they photographs of some particular star?
Oh, no, no. Action shots made during the filming of a picture that I directed for Miss Gale. Let me see, what was the title of that one?
Well, maybe that isn't important, Brother Pocket.
Oh,
who
wait,
was...
Wait a moment. It was called Dangerous Little... No, Dangerous Lovers. Yeah. That George Sheldon starred with Mavis in that one.
Was Tom Sanford in it, too?
Tom, yes. Best role he ever had.
Well, how about the next row of pictures?
A photograph of Mavis and Tom, I believe. I can't recall the title of that film. A dreadful thing. Francis Trevelyan talked them into it and directed it, too. And should have stayed behind the camera where he belonged.
And the bottom row, were they photographs of Tom Sanford and Mavis Gale?
Yes, I'm certain of it. That picture was...
Brother Pocket, would you say that Tom had changed much since those photographs were made?
Not too much, no. He put on a bit of weight. His hair turned gray, of course, thinning on top. Oh, he'd grown a small mustache, too.
How about it, Sergeant? You'll notice there isn't another photograph of Tom Sanford left on that wall.
Okay, so assuming the killer took these away because they might identify Barney as Tom Sanford...
And link him with Mavis Gale?
Yes, yet the killer went to the trouble of drawing red question marks over the other photographs of Mavis Gale.
To deliberately draw attention to her. Why?
Mavis Gale would have been involved anyway to a certain extent. After all, she is the beneficiary of Slade's insurance policy.
Sure, sure, but suppose the killer wasn't aware of that.
$25,000, I believe, is the amount.
Yeah, that's right.
And you're wondering why he did it.
Oh, I can make a guess. You said he'd been pretty reckless, tossed a lot of Mavis Gale's money around in the old days. May have amounted to something close to $25,000.
Possibly.
This may have been his way of squaring the account. $25,000 and a king-size shot.
He could hardly be expected to guess that his death would come about under these circumstances, Mr. Dollar.
No, but he could have passed away calmly in his sleep some night and wouldn't have changed a thing, Brother Pocket. Mavis Gale would still have been curious about a man named Barney Slade.
Oh, yes, I suppose, yes.
He must have been pretty sure she'd recognize him, that it would make a nice big splash in all the papers. Was he that much of a ham?
Tom, I'm afraid so.
He couldn't have loved Mavis Gale very much.
Oh, he'd, Mr. Dollar, right to the last, yes.
Still, he couldn't resist the magnificent gesture, the big payoff, returning her $25,000.
You know something, Dollar? Now you sound like you're on her side.
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, if that's all that you want me for, I think I'd best be getting back to my quarters at the mission.
The flock may be getting a little restless, huh?
You know how it is. There are times that one of the brothers will sneak a bottle of sherry into the dormitory, and things become quite gay.
Sure, Mr. Pocket. You can run along, and thanks.
Well, good night, gentlemen.
Good night. Well, Sergeant, what's the next move?
What about this Joe Fallon? You said he'd been Mavis Gale's chauffeur at one time.
Yeah. Pocket saw the whole thing. The attempt to kill Tom Sanford 27 years ago. Fallon and Sanford were struggling. A shot went off and Fallon got it full in the face.
Sanford then decided to play dead.
Yep. But ever since then, Sanford was hiding out down here under the name of Barney Slade. That is, until somebody caught up to him, caught on to it 3 nights ago and killed him. Big question still remains, who?
Come on, let's get out of here. I'll get it.
Yeah?
Right, I got it. That was headquarters. They just got a call from Francis Trevelyan.
Trevelyan? He was one of the men on that hunting trip, along with Pocket and the others.
Yeah. Seems Mavis Gale just heard we've been wanting to ask her some questions. She wants us to come right over. She's at Trevelyan's beach house in Malibu.
The beach house turned out to be one of those super modern jobs, low, sprawling, with a lot of glass and flagstone. The butler allowed us through the front door, and after a nice little stroll, we finally arrived at the den, a 50-footer at least, with a bar at one end. Mavis and a tall, distinguished-looking gentleman were at the other.
Evening, Miss Gale.
Good evening, Sergeant. I'm terribly sorry about all this. I didn't know you wanted to talk with me. I should have left word at the house, I suppose. But I was so upset, anxious to get away.
I understand.
Oh, this is Francis Trevelyan, Sergeant McKay, and Mr...
Dollar. We met at the funeral home.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Do sit down, gentlemen. May I offer you a drink?
No, thanks, Mr. Trevelyan. Now, Miss Gale.
Yes?
When I first informed you of Barney Slade's death at the Penny Arcade at Ocean Park, you told me you never met the man.
That's right. I had no way of knowing it was Tom. Not until last night when I went to the mortuary.
Had you ever been in or near the Penny Arcade at any time, Miss Gale, previous to the murder?
Yes. Two nights before.
Why didn't you mention this to me when I spoke with you before?
I don't know. I was frightened. A man named Barney Slade had been murdered. The killer had drawn question marks on my photographs in the dead man's apartment.
Were you afraid to tell me because it would involve you deeper?
Yes. I think that was the purpose of the phone call, Sergeant.
What phone call?
That evening, shortly after 6, I received a call from a man. He wouldn't identify himself. He said that a very dear, very old friend of mine was in trouble and needed my help.
He instructed you to go to the arcade in Ocean Park?
I was to be there by 8 o'clock, and this old friend was to make himself known to me.
So you went. Did you see anyone?
No one that I recognized.
Miss Gale, does the name Joe Fallon mean anything to you?
Fallon? Why do you ask that?
Just a moment, Mr. Trevelyan.
Why, yes. Joe was my chauffeur many, many years ago.
And when did you discharge him?
Shortly after my marriage to Tom.
Did he tell you to get rid of Fallon?
Yes. Yes, he didn't like Joe.
Mr. Dollar, may I ask you why you're questioning Miss Gale about Joe Fallon?
Because we just found out he's the man who tried to murder Tom Sanford 27 years ago.
What? You mean he was the man killed? The man we all thought was Tom.
That's right. Was Joe Fallon in love with you?
Now, see here.
Better answer. Was he, Miss Gale?
I don't know.
What are you two driving at, Sergeant? I insist on knowing.
And I'd like to know why you jumped when I first mentioned Joe Fallon's name, Mr. Trevelyan.
All right, I'll tell you. You see, I'd quite forgotten about him. It was only when you asked Miss Gale that it suddenly dawned on me who he was, and it startled me, because his name had been brought to my attention only some 24 hours ago.
Oh?
A phone call. A man who said he was in partnership with Joe Fallon. They had a business deal to talk over with me.
And?
Well, I simply told him that I wasn't interested. I was in the midst of my most important production, and I just couldn't be bothered.
Did you receive a similar call, Miss Gale?
I know.
You know, Sergeant, I'll give you odds it's the same one who called Miss Gale before the murder to get her down to the Penny Arcade.
But I don't understand. Why? Who is the man?
When we find that out, Miss Gale, we'll have the killer.
Here's your hotel, Dollar.
Oh, yeah, right, thanks.
Been a long day, hasn't it?
Sure has. And we haven't made much progress.
At least Brother Pocket was some help.
Uh-huh. Cigarette?
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, Pocket gave us a couple of answers. We could sure use a lot more.
Thanks.
You know, Sergeant, that bit about the photographs still bothers me. Why would the killer first try to hide the link between Mavis Gale and Tom Sanford, and then deliberately draw attention to her?
You think someone beside the killer could have made those question marks on her photographs?
Could be.
Okay. For instance,
who discovered the body?
Twyla James.
Okay.
You mean she walks in, discovers the body, picks up red crayon, does the art job? Why?
Well, look, I just make these things up. I don't explain them.
You're off the beam on this one, Johnny. When we got to Barney's place, she was shaking like a ship without a rudder. Nah, she was scared silly.
Uh-huh. I'd still like to ask her about it, though.
Better get some sleep, Dollar.
I guess. Thanks for the lift, Sergeant. Night. Yeah, the sergeant was probably right about Twyla. But I sauntered on down to the amusement zone anyway. It was late and the place was folding up. There was a nice warm breeze blowing in from the sea and the night was calm. So I continued along the oceanfront, crossed over into Venice, and kept right on going. The old canals and the bridges looked more sad and forlorn than ever in the pale moonlight, with the sea in the background adding its lonely rhythm of sound. The shot had come from somewhere over by the canals. Then I saw the man on the bridge, staggering, weaving like a drunk. I headed toward him on the double, but before I could reach him, he stumbled and fell on his face.
Here.
Let's see. Pocket.
There. Back there.
Pocket, this is Dollar. Johnny Dollar.
There. Over there.
He kept pointing across the canal, and then I saw the figure slinking away. I took after him. I scrambled across the bridge, and then along the canal. And then I lost him. I pulled up on the bank of the canal, looking around. Listen. Nothing. Then, suddenly, something. Footsteps behind me. But I heard them a second too late.
Oh!
Now, here's our star to tell you about the final episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, a man who talked too much, and it killed him. Yeah, the payoff. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Adrian John Doe, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, this is shaping up to be one of the better Johnny Dollar serials. And I hope part five really justifies the type of story we've gotten in the first four parts. Because we've got a very puzzling mystery, particularly those contradictory clues at the crime scene. I don't remember exactly how this one turns out, so I'll be as surprised as everyone on Friday when we wrap this up. And I should go ahead and remind you, this is the last Wednesday episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. So join us next Wednesday for the character who is going to hold down Wednesdays for the next 2 years, Philip Marlowe. Be sure and be listening for that. It's going to be a very interesting ride as Van Heflin stars. Well, that will do it for today. We will be back tomorrow with Nick Carter. And on Friday, be sure and listen as the Silent Queen matter comes to a close, and so does the Yours Truly Johnny Dollar serial era. And then next Wednesday, The Adventures of Philip Marlowe. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.